This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and today we are here with Iris Veneration. She began her full-time real estate investing career back in 2003 when she quit her six-figure corporate job in mortgage finance. She has now purchased, wholesaled, and rehabbed or sold over 200 properties in Southern California. She is the director of Invest Club, formerly known as Invest Club for Women. Fabulous. For those insiders, you know what that means. And last fall, she helped us create a very beefy chapter, and I'm very, very grateful on short-term rentals. It was something that I've been wanting to cover for a long time. And she is now also a proud mom of two twin boys. So I'm super excited she's here and made some time. So thanks for joining us, Iris.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
And I always like to start with sort of why people got into real estate and mortgage to begin with. So why real estate?
I know, like you mentioned, my background was mortgage finance, and, you know, this was, when I left that industry, it was a time where they were doing crazy refis and purchases. Anyone with a heartbeat could get a loan. And I was working really hard, 16-hour days, and, you know, doing a lot of loans for investors, and it finally, like, the light bulb was like, oh, what's this other part of this real estate equation that I'm not doing or not seeing? And during that time, one of my colleagues at the office asked if I wanted to do a search on it. What is that? It was just a world where there were no TV shows about Swift. And this partner, you know, asked me, you know, let's go do this. Found a house, you know, while we were working at full-time job. And after that first house, we made a ton of money, and I was hooked. And so shortly after that, I quit my job. I went at it full-time. Sorry about that. And since I was looking here in Southern California, I realized that I sold the asset, and that asset obviously was gone. I couldn't create any more income. So it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that after he flipped it, you know, what was I going to do with all that cash? So I started buying rentals, and, you know, because California was so expensive at that time, you know, I did a lot of stuff out of state. Today, you know, I'm back all in California. I mean, obviously, the market turned, you know, during my career, 2007 and 2008, took a huge tumble, lost a ton of money, but now I'm happily just slipping here in Southern California, and now all my rentals are here in Southern California, where I can drive to them and visit them when I want without getting on a plane. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed a lot over the last 10 years as well. So one of the reasons we definitely want to bring you, and Patrick Diamond was the other gentleman we met, gosh, was it back in April when we started working on the chapter for vacation rentals? Because, you know, 10 years ago, I mean, Airbnb hasn't been around for very long. And of course, vacation rentals have been around for a really long time, but it's just become very commercially viable. And their system is brilliant. If you think about it, connecting to things like social media, you're allowed to verify the trust factor that people are who they say they are. And the owner of the real estate is being able to review the person who's renting the property and vice versa. So there's this trust factor that's really brilliant in the social media aspect of what they've brought to the table. But it's changed. It's professionalized. I am just so fascinated with how many tools are available. I mean, I got AirDNA involved in helping provide the metrics. And even here in California, there's so many different markets and rules and regulations. Every city is handling this differently. And my biggest concern is that as we move forward with the accessory dwelling unit conversation, vacation rentals are going to be more heavily regulated because the cities are upset with the state for over-regulating it. So we're going to cover all that and more, but let's just talk about right now, like what's your overall feeling right now in this time in the market when it comes to vacation rentals?
Well, let me just start by saying, you know, this whole vacation short-term rental thing is part of this new economy that we're in. And that's why I get so excited about it, you know, with Uber, Lyft, Instacart, and all these services that are available out there. Airbnb and all the other platforms that exist have just totally turned this industry upside down. And for me, the reason why I love Airbnb is not only because I use it and love it. It's a great alternative, especially when you're going on vacation or out of town, you know, for longer than a couple of days. Who doesn't want to be in a house, right, where you can cook and just relax and not have to be in a hotel going out to eat all the time? I mean, I love using it. So it was one of those platforms that, you know, was very natural for me to turn to. And secondly, you know, I mean, this is one of, I mean, I, like probably most of the listeners, I'm a serial entrepreneur, so I love having all kinds of businesses going on at the same time. But this was like a natural progression to kind of incorporate this into what I already have. So we have turned a lot of our rentals and quote-unquote tried the Airbnb platform, and then experienced so much success very, very quickly. And so I was finding my rentals, you know, well, let me just give a direct example. So one of our founders, they're worth around $1,750, $1,850, but through Airbnb and using that platform, the short-term rental platform, I mean, we were, you know, getting twice, maybe some months, three times the rent per month. So it's just a great way to increase your cash flow. And it works not just with rentals that you own. I mean, you could also Airbnb other properties, you know, maybe your friend's property, you can master these properties and do Airbnb. Obviously, you know, you need to have full disclosure there so no one gets in trouble. But to answer your question, where do I see it going? Yes, you know, there is heavy regulation. You know, some cities, like in Orange, if you call some cities, well, I guess I don't want to, don't quote me on this, but, you know, one week, it's okay, or the answer may be, you know, we don't have a decision on it yet, and next week that may change. So my friends and people approach me and ask if they should do this Airbnb thing. You know, I tell them, you know, make sure you can manage and still cash flow the property without, you know, 100% relying on the Airbnb income, because it can change at any given moment. So to kind of round out the story, that condo I was talking about, just so... We actually just had to convert it back to a long-term rental because the HOA finally, I guess, taught us and said that we were not allowed to do Airbnb. Now, this was after doing it for 3 years there. So we had a very, very successful run on that. And, you know, actually on that note, I also want to mention that we actually transitioned very easily. Your listeners might benefit from this. But, you know, if you do get in trouble with Airbnb, I switched our listing to a thing called Furnish Finder. And Furnish Finder works directly with travel nurses and doctors. So they look specifically for furnished places, and I found that we could still charge almost the same amount of rent that we were getting from Airbnb, but going through a platform like that. So that's furnishfinder.com.
I
found it really useful.
So you said furnishfinder.com?
Yes. And so this platform is specifically for travel nurses and doctors. And so a lot of the local hospitals need nurses and doctors. And so they will, like, hire them for temporary stints, but these stints, you know, they'll give them contracts for a minimum of 2 to 3 months. And so they're still, like, kind of an in-between. You're not a short-term rental. It's not necessarily a long-term rental. So in my situation, where I already had a fully furnished rental, was no longer allowed to do short-term rentals. Most cities call a long-term rental anything over 30 days.
Perfect,
and
yeah.
So because my place yet was furnished, you know, I just signed a contract with two travel nurses that are coming into this particular condo. And, you know, they have a crazy stipend, monthly stipend, so they can afford the higher rate.
Right.
And so, yeah, just a tip, you know, that, and if that happens to influence the rental or Airbnb, I should say. That's actually an option.
Great idea. So, all right. Yeah. So I've got furnishfinder.com, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I do have people call, and I'm always surprised when they get stuck and they call and they're stuck already. And I'm like, well, how did you price this out? And they really only priced it out based on the income they would get from a fully rented all year round vacation rental. And I'm like, did you look at seasonality? Did you check the local rules? And the same goes with accessory dwelling units. I think we're all seeing what a pain it is when you don't have regulation at the state level and you have to consider every single municipality not only what they've got on the books, but also what's coming. So if you're in Orange County and you've got a Palm Springs, accessory dwelling unit and you're not paying attention, the rules can completely change. You're not voting in there. You're not getting email updates. You're not reading the local paper. So you can completely get just hit up.
In trouble
and not even know. So like, isn't Anaheim the one where you've got, I think it's coming up like 2021, you have to convert it back to a long-term rental or sell it? Is that?
Yes. They extended it, I think, to 2019, and then now you have to convert back. Well, it's hard for me to keep up with every regulation in the city. So, I mean, seriously, if people have them, they definitely need to check in with the city before they start anything.
Yeah, and even resources like AirDNA. AirDNA, when I was looking at their data, and then I wanted to put notes in the book on if I could find the latest regulation by city. Oftentimes, even AirDNA didn't have the most up-to-date, but how could you follow every single municipality across the United States? Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
So co-living. So I love this furnished rental idea for sure. And then co-living is another one that's awesome also for rent control. It's an interesting sort of play against the rent control side to where you hopefully won't run into as many problems when you get into that longer term rental situation. So if you want to hear a really great show on the vacation rental, we've got Shayna Golboff that we did, I think, a couple months ago. But one of the reasons I loved working with you and Patrick is because you guys both also had very different philosophies when it came to vacation rentals. And it cracked me up when I first met with you guys. I was laughing. Number one, three of us in the same room together is ridiculous. Way too much energy in one room. But you sort of had a very interesting philosophy, was like, it's the beach. That is the feature. That is the benefit. That is the experience. And Patrick is very much, it's got the local art and it's the culture. And it's interesting. So I think, do you have a specific philosophy across all vacation rentals, or you really tailor it to the market?
Well, again, I can speak for, obviously myself and how I handled the Airbnb. For me, it was strictly business. For me, I ran it like a business, and, I tried to, streamline as much of the, responsibilities as I could. I mean, I still handled it myself. For me, Patrick was all about city and experience, and that's great, but I didn't have time for that. So the experience they got was, most of my vacation rentals were, close enough to the beach that I could say, this is one of the features, the benefits coming. You have easy access to the beach and shopping and blah, blah, blah. And then, as far as, making it hospitable or welcoming, I think the biggest thing I did was maybe some deep idea basket with some extra water than, snack. So, we had a lot of travelers that came from out of town or out of the country. And obviously when they first get in there, it's kind of nice to be able to just, grab some water or have a little snack without having to go to the grocery store or whatnot. So they could just settle in.
Yeah.
So that was probably the extent of how hospitable I was. Partly what people look for is, location, what's around you, what can they do. And number two, I think the most important thing is that there's internet and that it's clean.
Yeah.
You have those things and it's all you need. You can become a super host just with that, without having great experiences. So I love Patrick, and yes, he has amazing reviews and he's totally about the experience, and some people will go for that, but I find that most people, just need a place to stay. So long as it's clean and it's in the right area or location, that's all you need.
Well, we talked, we're never going to be able to cover as much as we did in that 2-hour segment. It was super beefy, and I just really appreciated all the input from the different angles, and that makes me laugh. But cleanliness is definitely important. I just love it. So cleanliness, internet, and snacks is basically my takeaway from...
You too can have a successful.
Well, it's funny because the trend is, I don't know if a lot of people who aren't in this space really think about it, but Airbnb has also diversified into the experience category. So it's no longer just about the real estate, but
let those people take care of it.
This is
a host, you don't need to do that.
Tiffany Humsfeld, this is a shout out to you, you know, a local Long Beach based investor. You know, she's creating these cute little experiences. I think she's got a mermaid experience. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, you want somebody to introduce you around town, or maybe it's you're providing a dinner experience, a local host. So,
yes, I think it's great. And that's like another platform through Airbnb that you can actually make findings of. You know, if you like giving tours, or if you like people, you know, it's part of the new economy. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to go away for sure. And it's just definitely an interesting strategy. I just definitely want to warn investors, as the accessory dwelling unit conversation continues to unfold, you just have to understand a lot of cities are not only locking down. If you have a rental and you have an ADU, a lot of them are overlaying. You know, one has to be a primary residence. And then you can't also, on top of that, do short-term rentals. So, man, not only do you have to watch to what's going on and available now, you need to call the planning department to see if your local council members or county supervisors are regulating the space further, because it's coming. It's just crazy. But let's see, what are some of the other biggest mistakes or misconceptions that you hear from real estate investors who think it's great to be in this space?
Misconceptions? Well, maybe I should say there's one of the greatest fears that I feel investors that make them concerned about getting into the space is that you think that tenants and your clients will mess up your place or, you know, destroy it or disrespect it or whatever. And I think it's a fair fear to have. And this is why I love using the Airbnb platform in particular, because they do have great, you know, insurance in place. Liability insurance to protect the homeowner as well as the unit or your home. And so, and then like you mentioned earlier, because it's so driven by social media, and you know, that social interaction, you know, a lot of it is, you can see the travelers that are reviewed. You can see the hosts that are reviewed. So part of that, like, that social policing is people will do stuff because if you give them a bad review, then it's going to be hard for them to rent again. So I just find that so long as you choose your clients, like I have certain rules in my mind as far as, you know, what tenants to take or not. And, you know, I don't like any last minute rentals. I don't want them to be, you know, in the same town. And, you know, if I have a unit in Orange, I don't want them to be from Santa Ana, you know, renting my unit in Orange, because I'm like, what is this? Is this a vacation? They're trying to get away from, you know, something, you know, what's going on? So I always try to question those things before I just, you know, let people rent. Or a book, I should say.
Interesting. So, I mean, how do you delicately say, like, hey, you live in Torrance. Why are, you know, you're not there far away? Like,
I just ask them straight up. Just be like, you know, you're local. Why is it that you're needing a place? You know, they may say, I'm coming from Disneyland, right? But I'm like, you're local. Why do you need a place, right? And that, believe it or not, most of the time people are really honest. Like, I'll give you an example. I had this person try to rent my place, again, exactly the situation I described. It was from Santa Ana's profile, and my place was in Orange, right? And the thing was, I bought a Disneyland. I'm like, why do you need to come and stay in Orange, you know, when you live in Santa Ana, go to Disneyland? And he said, and he literally responded, my mom doesn't let us party in the house. And I'm like, you're kidding. Declined.
Hey, at least he was honest.
You have to ask, though, right? And I don't want any filming, you know, in the place, because I never know what they're filming. They could say one thing, but, you know, it could be something else. So there's just certain rules that you have to get comfortable as a host. But I can say, for the most part, it hasn't been perfect 100% of the time, but nothing that is not manageable. I think the hardest thing that I ever had to go through was, you know, we had some kids stay in our unit, and they wet the mattress, and we had someone else coming in the same day, and I literally had to get a new mattress to the place
the
same day before the next tenant. But, I mean, that was literally the first thing that's ever happened for me. So, knock on wood, you know.
Right. Oh, man, you hear the horror stories. You know, one of the things that I didn't really think about until we started working on this chapter for the portal was that you typically have at least a cleaning person in, you know, what, every other week minimum. So you've got a lot more eyeballs on the place. Do you find that it's getting kept up more than if it were a long-term rental?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. Every time the cleaner comes in, it could be at very minimum once a week, sometimes two or three times a week. Yeah, the place is getting cleaned all the time. So, and if there's anything wrong, I can find out right away. And so things can be easily, you know, fixed and maintained. Whereas in a long-term rental, you can offer to clean the place, but, you know, my nurses, I don't know if they're going to hire a service. Probably not, for example, right? So when it's time for them to check out, we'll probably have to do a deep clean. And so that is one great benefit of having a short-term rental. Again, the maintenance is constant. So I find that it actually, is in better condition.
Well, it makes sense. If it's getting cleaned, probably a lot more than if your long-term rental people are in there. Mm-hmm. So it makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense. Well, what are some of the trends that you sort of see coming up in maybe the next few years when it comes around this space?
I'm really hoping it's going to start. And I just think if more people actually use it and were familiar with it, I think defiance against it, but I'm really hope. I mean, I don't have any data where maybe you could pull, but I really feel that this space is going to stay. And so I think there'll be opportunities, for people in their own homes if they're okay with renting, let's say, a room, opportunities for, even let's say maybe senior citizens that may have extra, maybe have empty nest syndrome, they can make extra income. I mean, I think there's so much possibility and potential in this arena that, I just think it's good overall for this space.
I think with smart home technology too, and because this is becoming such a popular category, in the next couple of years, I expect to see even more technology sort of geared towards this. So we've already got smart locks, and we've covered on the radio before, there are decibel monitors. So if people are getting wild and partying, you as the host get a notification like, hey, you need to calm this down before the neighbors turn you in, kind of thing. I'm fascinated.
Well, I do have a comment about that. I mean, there was a case where I had a friend that was working for a company that managed vacation rentals, and this company made sure that all the units had decibel monitors. And she told me she got called out for this one unit. It was actually in Anaheim, and the decibel monitor was going off, and this was during the day. And so she had to go there, and she looked around. Everything looked normal. There was no excessive cars or whatnot. And so she opened the door to see what was happening. Didn't really hear any noise. And then it hit her. There were two, young children in the house, and they were, running, up and down the living room, and just fine, being kids, and it was kicking off the decibel monitor. So I'm saying, I like this concept of it, but, the technology can also be fallible, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. But one of the things that I like to make, or something that's been really, really helpful for me, is just inserting exterior camera on the door when they first come in, or even just a ring, so that way you see how many people are coming into the unit. And to me, that is, I think, a better judgment.
The camera. Okay. Yeah, I can. Yeah. The only thing that I'm even just as a landlord, I'm being cautious with smart home tech is cameras inside. I'm completely avoiding. No, thank you. I don't want
to.
No,
inside. Yeah, just outside. Yeah,
yeah, just disclosing specific and making sure you disclose, and rental contracts are good and California specific. I definitely like leaning on a lot of these technology providers, the platforms, because I feel like they're more up on top of it than we would be. So instead of trying to do yourself, there probably is a little bit of a relief knowing that the professional platforms are thinking about this and probably seeing a lot more lawsuits than you are, Will. Mm. Well, I knew this was going to happen. We ran out of time. We are going to try to do a show with Patrick covering a very different angle of this. But thank you for participating and helping us develop this chapter and a cool tool. And we'll always come back to this, and I'll reach back every year or so and we'll chat more about this.
Aaron, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for allowing me to be here. It was a pleasure.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.